Good morning. We're getting set up here. I'd like to thank our prayer team. It was a great time of prayer this morning. I just want to thank them for their willingness to pray over everybody and pray for people. That's what we want to be about this morning, is about worship. And we are on our new sermon, kind of our current sermon series. I shouldn't say new, because this is the last one of that sermon series. Before we head into our time of our Christmas series, and I'm looking forward to seeing what God has for us, but I'm excited today. We have our worship leaders, Aaron Dovey, with us, yes. Mackenzie McLaughlin with us. And I asked them, I said, hey, we're going to be, we want to finish up, and what's the point, asking them, what's the point of worship? And you don't want to hear me sing, you don't want to hear me play guitar, so I asked our experts, if you will, to come up here. And I just want to say before everybody, I'm so thankful for your leadership and your heart and how the Spirit uses your giftings to lead us in the God's presence every week, and the sacrifice that each of you make for us and for Jesus and going on scene. So we just, I see Jesus in both you. The Spirit is there, and I just want to thank you for your time and leading us. Yes. So we're just kind of talking today about worship, and I know this is a worshiping church. People love to sing, but worship is just more than singing. Amen. It's praying, as we did. We prayed for people and over people. It's giving. It's how we give of our tithes and offerings. It's giving of our talents and abilities to people. So that's what worship is about. But I wanted to hear like kind of the heart of worship behind why we sing and different things, and hearing really what you guys have experienced in your walks. But you know, we're required to make a joyful noise. You know, no rock is going to take my place, as Scripture says. Like this is a singing church, and I love that about this place. Worship, when we ask that question, what is worship truly about? You know, I just want us to think about that. Psalm 113:3 says this, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Say praised. Praise. The name of the Lord is to be praised. And so this is something that we daily, continually do, that we're to give Lord the praise. You know, I was at a wedding last night. I was talking to Hodge, and she's talking about Susan when she was a little girl would continue to sing, and that was already in her, right, that she continues to sing. But that's what we're supposed to do daily. We're really called to do that daily. It's a continual response of who God is, really, and what he's done in our lives. And so we're called to honor him in our lives. And so my first question to you guys, when you think about worship music or just worship, the term worship, what comes to your mind first? What do you think?
Oh man, so many good things, but honestly, I just always think of how worthy God is, how holy, how mighty, how loving, how just. And oftentimes, honestly, like our flesh is tired. My flesh is tired, and it doesn't want to sing. It doesn't always want to worship, but I know he's worthy of it. And it helps realign my heart and realign my spirit with God's. And that is such a beautiful blessing of worship.
Amen.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think that, you know, the more that I dive into the character of God, his goodness, his mercy, his grace, peace, joy, all of the things, worship just comes as a natural response to that. How can I not worship when I see how good God has been? And the deeper I get to know him through prayer, word, connection groups, as we were singing today, the more I want him, the more I want to worship him. And it just comes natural when you're deep into his presence.
Absolutely, yeah. We just want more and more of that. Here's another question. When you were growing up, and I know you grew up here, and you didn't grow up here, but you grew up here. What do you think about church music? I'll give you my experience. When I grew up in Beaver Christian Missionary Alliance, and they had Gaither music, they had hymns, there was a hymnal, there was a lady that played the zither. Look, just Google it if you know what that is. And I would just like sit in the back like, oh man, this worship music is okay, not my choice, you know? And that's what I associated, what I meant to be a Christian. There's gotta be more to this, but I didn't realize all the stuff you guys are saying. So what do you think? What was it, what that second question there, what do you think about church music? What's that, Aaron?
So I have always had a passion for worship, and I thank my parents that we always grew up in a house of worship. There was always a Hosanna or Integrity or Vineyard tape in the car playing, and there was worship in our house. My dad was part of the worship team, so I was here at practices a lot. That's how I God involved. So worship has always just been, I've had a positive outlook of worship. We did the
jealous.
We did the silly songs, you know, looking back, you're like, wow, we actually sang that in church. You did the Hail, Hail, Lion of Judah, like those kind of songs. Right, right. But yeah, I've always had a positive outlook of worship, and I attribute that to this church, to my parents, to just how God's worked in
me. I love that. I love to hear that. Good job, Mom and Dad. Go ahead.
I'd say similar. I also grew up in a house of worship. My parents were very involved at our church, and I personally loved it. Like, I loved the music. I loved how God's presence would become alive to me in that place of worship. He was just very near and real. But I also, when I sang, I felt something come alive inside me during, like, singing those songs of worship. And so that was something that I think instantly bonded my heart to worship and Jesus, worshiping him in that way.
Yeah, and we can still see that today as you led us today. You could see that coming out of you, and that's an amazing thing. I'm thankful for that gifting in you. How long, you know, when you think about you grew up in a good environment, both you've had good experiences, and I'm jealous of that. But how, when did you decide, how did God move on your life to lead worship and move to leading others in the God's presence? When did that happen for you? Who wants to take it?
Okay, so I have been officially worship leader here at this campus for 10 years.
10 years, wow. 10 That's years a decade.
So, yeah, that is, yeah. But I've been a part of this team 25, 26. I was up here when I was 12 years old, 38 now, so whatever that math is.
That beard came in nice.
It came in real nice, yeah. When I was 12, yeah, yeah.
I had one
so,
at 12, yeah.
You know, I've had an awesome opportunity to be a part of something for so long, and I'm so grateful for all of the people that have been a part of this team, past and present, who have really poured into me, helped me to grow and develop into worship leading, and it's so much fun. That's the best part of it. It's so much fun playing with. I played with Ben and my brother Matt for my entire life, and that's awesome. It's so
longer than the Beatles, right?
Longer than the Beatles.
So, yeah, absolutely. How about you, Mackenzie? What's
your
story about worship leader?
Gosh, I've been, I think, officially leading worship here under Aaron for almost 5 years now, which is crazy. but the Lord, it's truly like a long testimony and a journey of how God brought me here into this place and honestly used this church and used Aaron and this team to really allow the Lord to rebuild in me that calling of worship. And so that's been so humbling. It's really a humbling thing to lead worship on this stage and with this team. And honestly, like, best team ever. If I led worship somewhere else, it would not sound so good, because this team, the way that they play and work together, is a gift. And I hope you guys know, like, even as somebody who leads sometimes, like, I am blessed by this team, and I wouldn't be the same without it. So
I truly believe this. Yeah, thank you. I think this is like a hidden secret in Pittsburgh. Like, this is one of the best worship teams. I truly believe that. You guys play so well together, and the Spirit's there. So if there was a big idea for today, what's the point of worship? And I got this from, over some kind of study. The big idea is worship is about God, first and foremost. I mean, we could all agree with that. Worship is about God. Worship transforms us, like it transformed your heart. And it unites us, and you kind of, 10 years, you've been united with your bandmates, but also the churches. And then worship provides a witness to the world. As the Spirit is in us, we go out into the world. And so those are the kind of the big ideas. And I have some scriptures, and just ask your thoughts on that. So that first thought, worship is about God. Psalm 29:2 says, ascribe to the Lord, or attribute to the Lord, the glory that is due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. And so God is a holy God, and so we're called to ascribe or attribute praise and greatness to his name. And so that comes out of us through praise. And so that's my question, is like, how do you see that? How is worship about God and not about us, really? Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, so it's definitely not not about entertainment. It's not about the music. It's not about our preferences in any way. It's truly about, you know, giving God the glory and lifting him up. And some of the songs that I absolutely love to do, we do, you know, a mix of praise, worship, some that are a little more, encouraging, or some that are more vertical. But the vertical songs just really speak to me so much, as we're lifting God up and just glorifying him, giving him all the glory that he's due. It's not about me in any way. God would still be glorified if I wasn't here, and I have to keep that in my heart at all times.
Yeah, that's good. Amen. What do you think?
Yeah, I also think of Revelation 4, and it gives us this beautiful picture of worship because we see the living creatures and we see the elders in heaven casting their crowns and falling before the Lord, worshiping him. And it's just this beautiful picture that we are actually, we're not starting anything down here. We're actually joining with heaven already, who, like, they're worshiping all the time, and we get to join in and participate that with that. And I think it helps shift our focus from, like, the me. There's a lot of me-centered worship out there. Worship, I don't think it's necessarily worship. That's, you know, it's uplifting to our spirits. But it shifts our focus back to, I am actually worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and it's not about, how did I feel about worship today? Well, Mackenzie, she sang really badly, and it just threw me off, and I couldn't get in the presence, you know, which I'm sorry if I do that, but
there's no way.
But it shifts that from, do I like this song? How did I feel about it? To, did I join with heaven this morning? Did I lift high the name of Jesus in this house, and was he glorified through me?
I love that. I love that. There's a Christian creed or catechism. It's called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It says, what is the chief end of man, or what is the chief end of humanity? What was the purpose why we do that? And the chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And I love those two words, glorify God, and we worship God through our minds and our voices and everything that we do. But then we're also called to enjoy him forever. And that's the part of worship, is if we're not enjoying, I really do think we're missing the point. So what do you guys, that second one, it says this, worship forms us spiritually as men and women to look more and more like Jesus. There's a scripture verse I want to read, that Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, richly dwell within you as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. As you sing, I like that word, sing, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with, and this is the attitude of the heart, the gratitude in your hearts to God. And so we sing that word, as the catechism says, to glorify God, to enjoy him. We're supposed to have a gratitude in our hearts. How does worship form you spiritually as you lead in worship? What do you think, Mackenzie?
Man, I think that, you know, when we worship along with songs that are biblical and are speaking truth to our spirits and wisdom, man, it really just realigns me with the truth. And I think about how Romans 12 talks about how we are to be renewing our minds, and worship is a pure and, like, easy way to realign our hearts with the Lord. It softens our hearts to God's leading, to the Holy Spirit working in us, to being receptive to what he has to say, because sometimes it's not easy. But worship is a really beautiful way that the Lord says, I love you, I'm here for you, and also, like, let's work on this, like, a little bit. So I think that that is something that I think about.
I love it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think worship, you know, guides us, teaches us, encourages us. It reminds us and fills us of the truth of who God is, his character, and everything. And as that fills our hearts, our response to life then becomes worship from a place of gratitude. I think of my son Logan, when he was afraid of a thunderstorm or a bad dream or something, all he would want to do is sing out the song Tremble. Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. And so when we fill our lives with worship and we have those tools, to combat the attacks and the things that happen in life, as a heart of gratitude.
Yeah, I love that. That's good. The other one, it says this, I love this, is we see that this morning, even as Jess prayed over our little ones. Worship unites the church. A united church is one of the most beautiful things. A divided church is one of the grossest things. But when a church is united in worship and the Spirit, and we're honoring God, you know, Psalm 95, 6 through 7 says this, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people he watches over, the flock under his care, if you would only listen to his voice today. And so when you think about worship and unity from a worship leader's standpoint, or just as a believer, how do you see worship uniting us?
when we enter into the presence of God, we're worshiping the same God. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're coming from. There's no preference to God's presence. And he pours out his love for each one of us equally. So it unites us in that our purpose in life is to glorify and lift his name. So it doesn't matter what struggle we're going through, what mountaintop we're rejoicing on, we're worshiping the same God, and it unifies us.
Yeah, it unifies us more than just our feelings. Like, we might not want to be here, but we show up, and we thank God for who he is. We unify him. What do you think?
Yeah, I also think of Hebrews 10, and it talks about how when we get together, it stirs us up, it encourages and it strengthens us. And I know one of the things that we see, like, on a weekly basis is that when we come and we're preparing all week. Pastor Ben is pouring his heart into this church. Aaron is pouring his heart into worship. And when we faithfully pray and ask the Lord, like, what are you wanting to communicate? And we come on Sunday and our team is faithfully here. We get to worship and sing and allow ourselves to be softened, but then it awakens these gifts in the church that God's given us. And we see prophetic words and songs and scriptures being brought forth in such a timely manner that it pierces our hearts, because that's what God created the body to do, to build up, to encourage, to sanctify one another.
Yeah, I love it. That's absolutely wonderful. When we think about worship, it's a witness into the world. You know, as the Holy Spirit is in us, he empowers us as we go out from these, the sanctuary, out from this building. We're called to be a witness. And a witness is how we live our lives. It's the words we say. It's how we treat our family. It's more than just the singing here, but it's what we do here that empower. You know, it's one of those things that helps us go out. And Gospel of John chapter 4, Jesus says, "But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. For God is spirit, and so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." And so we see that as the Spirit is with us and we're going out, and how we model that, how we are ambassadors, matters to the Lord. So how would you say, as worship leader, how to be witnesses to the world? What do you think?
I think when you are in the presence of God, that undeniable, authentic worship where you can feel his presence, it's palpable in this place, that you can't deny it, and nobody can deny your testimony. The presence of God is a testimony of his goodness, and anyone who experiences it in a true and authentic way, there's no denying who he is. So just living that life of worship where we're constantly in his presence and just connected to him is a witness of his goodness and his faith to all the world.
I love it. Go ahead. Yeah. Same question.
I love how it says that God is actively looking for those. I think calling is oftentimes a huge problem for us. We're like, Lord, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be? And God's like, I've called you to worship. Like, here's an easy answer. Just come and be authentic and worship me. And like David, I feel like that's how we should be. He didn't care. He wasn't concerned about appearance or perfection, but he was just pouring his heart out before the Lord. And when we come together and people, we've had so many people come into this place who don't know the Lord, and they have seen a people here, the body of Christ, worshiping, and they have been blown away. Like, there's so many testimonies of that. It's different when you worship in authenticity before the Lord and they see the love of Christ here. It is life-changing for them.
Amen. I love that. And I've heard that when people, visitors are coming, they're like, that time of worship was powerful. That spoke to me. So when we do that, that matters. So we worship the Lord Almighty, and the why we worship, it matters too, because we worship because what God has done, how he sent his son Jesus to the cross, what he's done in our lives, those prayer requests we prayed over today. We worship and praise God for, you know, the why behind that is because of who he is and what he's done and his goodness, his love, his mercy. Romans 11:36 says this. It says, for from him, through him, and to him are all things. And so we worship God. He's this triune God. He's this God in relationship. It's his very nature as the Trinity. He's in worship. But we worship him because of all that he's done for us, and that he's doing for us and going to do for us that we don't even know yet, you know. And so that's the why we worship. And so that how there, how we worship, you know, if you can raise your hands, if you feel comfortable to do that, or close your eyes, or if you just need to sit there, I mean, there's no prescribed way to do that, right? I mean, there's no way, but we invite you to worship God in spirit and truth. Like, if you need to kneel, like we have people sometimes come up and kneel during the worship experience, that's encouraged there. So, but when you're here, when you're experiencing God, when we're worshiping together, we want you to worship him with all your heart. That's our why.
Yeah, I think authenticity is the biggest part of it. Coming before God broken, just falling before him, authentic, open, raw. That's how we truly can worship God without ourself pushed aside.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if you want to add to that or.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say it's like living on this altar. Like, we were created and we exist because he created us, and he did that for purpose. And so when we think of that we were created and we exist because of him, won't we want to pour ourselves out for him? Like, I just think all the time, like, Lord, let me be like incense. Let me be like oil that is constantly being poured at your feet.
Yeah, Joel, there's a slide. Could you put that Richard Foster quote up for me? We're going to end on this. It says this. I'm going to look back here because my eyes are getting worse. Worship begins in a holy expectancy. And so when we show up here, we're expecting God to move. I mean, we don't enter into this place and go, I sure hope God moves today. That's not the attitude. We're expecting God to move in some way. It ends in holy obedience. And so we expect God move, but then as we go out, as we're led in worship, we hear God's word, we're called to live that out and how we live our lives in holy obedience. I'm going to invite you to stand right now. And our worship team, they're going to lead us in worship right now, a little bit of an extended time of music and praise to God for who he is. But I want to pray over you now as they're getting ready to lead us. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray right now that as we enter this place this morning, there was a holy expectancy for you to move, that you knew the desires of our hearts, Lord, and what needed to happen. And so I thank you for the prayer that we had, for our little ones being here. And Father, I just pray right now that in obedience, that we leave this place changed today, that we go in worship and how we live our lives, that people don't often read the Bible, but they're reading us. And so in a holy obedience, Lord, help us to represent you well. And Lord, in this moment, we give you all the praise, honor, and worship. And all of God's people said, amen.